Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a lunchbox note that said, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life, and created a mission for our family. Join us each week for conversations that inspire our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be love and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, welcome to Be Love, Do Good Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Hayes, and today I have the sweet and just beautiful soul of Christian Bevere on today. She is talking about her new book, Break Up With What Broke You, How God Redeems and Rewrites Your Story. We talk a lot about shame, that many of us, especially as women, have held on to, and it seeps into our marriage and our motherhood, and some of us have this shame that it has been carried for a really long time, and it's time for us to let it go and live in the freedom of Christ and what He thinks about us, and not what maybe we have thought about ourselves or others have told us to think about ourselves. And so this is just an incredible interview. I feel like for anyone who has dealt with guilt and shame and has carried that and hasn't been able to offload that, this is such a wonderful one. Or if you have a friend that is dealing with that, there are so many beautiful nuggets of wisdom. I can't wait for you to get her book, which you can pre-order now, Break Up With What Broke You, which is releasing on August 15th. But help me welcome the sweet, sweet mom, Christian Bevere. Hey, Christian, thanks so much for being on Be Love, Do Good Podcast. I'm so excited to interview you today about your new book and just your life as a new mom and all the different things. You have so many just nuggets of wisdom to share with us. So thanks for being here today and giving us your time. I know you're a busy woman.
What an honor. And I know you know that from personal experience. So it's great to sit down and have a conversation with someone like-minded and in similar routes. So thank you.
You're welcome. Tell us, for those who might not know you, just a little bit about yourself, why you decided to write this new book, which I loved the title, by the way. When your publicist sent it to me, I was like, ooh, hold on. Let me look at that. let me look at that a little bit more. But your book is called Break Up With What Broke You. And I just thought that was, I love that title. I'd love for you just to explain that a little bit. But first, tell us just a little bit about you and what you're doing right now and where you are, what your life looks like, all that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's a huge honor. I really wanted the title to encapsulate what I felt like my past season had looked like. And it was a lot of getting rid of the things from my past. I like to say leaving the less for God's best. And sorry, if you hear the baby in the background crying, it's a great segue to who I am.
I love it.
I am a newish mom. I feel like new mom sits well with the newlywed season, where you have that full first year to just be like, yeah, we're new to the game. We're still learning. There's a grace, right? New mom, married to my partner in crime. We get to do life together. When we, our heart mission together is to make content that helps people, specifically in our generation, but also couples. You know, we see that there is an identity epidemic, there's a relational epidemic, and if we can do anything to share lessons we've learned, have peer-to-peer conversations, even just around things that just aren't readily talked about in a healthy way, that's what we want to do. So we make content, we write books, we parent, we survive, and we do it all again the next day.
I love it. You said, I get grace for the first year. I'm like, girl, you get grace for the next 21 years. I'm still like,
hands, new mercies every day.
Yeah. I'm like, I get grace, right? I have a 15-year-old. We still get grace. For sure. So I'd love to kind of just dig in with your title. You talk about Break Up With What Broke You. If we could just kind of dive into your season and what is it that you had to break up with? What are some of those things that you talk about?
Yeah. So I say break up with what broke you, because I think that's a really achievable likening and simile there is we can understand what it feels like to break up with something, even when it's necessary. It can be painful. It can be messy. We can be the girl with mascara running down our eyes with a jar full of Ben & Jerry's ice cream that disappears in 5 seconds. Like, it's tough, even when we know it's the right thing to do. And that's how I see a lot of the things we deal with in our life, whether it be, for me personally, it was shame, regret, comparison, anxiety, these big words that feel on the right side of the field, but in many ways they are deeply rooted under some of the things we're striving for, even our good intentions. And so we have to be able to do this deep dive. And when things come up in our life, whether it be we're getting mad at the kids way easier than we should be, we're fighting with our partner over things that seem silly or trivial, or we're just not able to look ourselves fully in the mirror or someone else in the eye, these are things that can be indicators of, hey, there's some deeper work that this isn't the fullness that God's called us to, right? He tells us that he made us fearfully in his image, that his yoke is easy, that he has plans for a future that is good and not for harm. He doesn't call us to be shamed. He calls us to be sons and daughters. So my journey of living this out and realizing I grew up in a Christian household. I love God. I want to have a healthy marriage, but there are tendencies or habits or just even a negative voice in the back of my head that shouldn't be there. And it's inhibiting the life I want to live and the people I want to reach and the woman that I want to be. So it was time for me to break up with these nasty habits, with the things that I had let slid under the radar, or I told myself, well, because you've messed up, you just have to deal with that. Or because you're not the perfect woman, right? I don't know who that is, but we all know that she believes out there somewhere in our minds.
She's on the Instagram the feed woman. That we see every day.
Yeah, we'll talk more about her a little later, I think. But just came to this point where I was like, there has to be a better way of doing this. And I remember sitting on my mom's floor after college, after a real breakup, and just thinking, I feel so misguided. I've had these good intentions. I've had this plan for my life, but it's not quite working out the way it should be. And it feels like there has to be a better way than this, right? So I went on almost a retrospective and like a backstepping. I went to college, thought I was going to get the dream job, thought I was going to meet my spouse, all these things, you know, you're thinking higher, better, faster, stronger. And I take a step back, come back to my hometown, the job I was working before college. And I was just like, God, what is going on? This is not the plan. This is nobody's plan. And on paper, it looks like I'm failing, but it was a chance for me to sit there and just spend time with God, have a little bit more of a hidden moment, not to keep striving, not to keep trying to just pursue who I want to be, but him say, hey, let's talk about who you've been and what I want to heal in you so you can be who I've called you to be. And in that place, I discovered, you know, the promises he wrote over my relationship that I needed to believe, the shame that I had been believing instead of his grace and the identity that he had laced me for. And I'm really thankful for that time. And this book is honestly a vulnerable sharing of that and even a peer-to-peer relational dynamic of these are some of the lies we believe as women. These are some of the habits we need to get out of. These are some of the things we write as common, but they're not normal.
That's good. You do a lot of work with women and in this space where you talk about this. So what are some of the things that women are believing? What are some of those, when you meet with women, how do they identify with your story? What are some of the shame triggers or the lies that they're believing right now? What do you think that epidemic is right now when it comes to shame, especially in what I would say there's a whole nother, I mean, you have these shame things and then you become a wife and there's more, and then you become a mom and then even more, you know, comes along, even those lies come along. So tell me a little bit about what you've been learning personally, but also when you work with others, what are some of those things that people are dealing with?
Yeah, everyone has a dream closet on their Pinterest board, right? Like, it's all beautiful and it's full of different clothes and shoes and accessories. I feel like women know how to keep our personal closets tidy, but they're full of a lot of stuff that we haven't gone through. Maybe things we need to throw out. For me, again, speaking on shame, it was shame over my past decisions. I grew up with incredible parents that really pointed me to Christ, but through their own divorce and some of the things that I saw growing up, it leaped a question in my mind of, am I the reason my parents got divorced. Am I unlovable? What does love even look like? How do I search that out? And that longing led me to make decisions that I regretted. And from that place of going, I made this decision while I knew Christ, and I knew I wanted to be a mom and a wife, but I'm not acting in this manner. And it led me down this rabbit hole. Instead of conviction, I turned to shame, which I often just say is, it's a gateway drug. It's the inability to separate what we've done from who we are.
That's good.
So I took on that conviction, the burden that we're not graced to carry, and told myself, well, you're a mess up. You're a screw up. Of course you're unlovable. Look what you've done. Look at who you're interacting with. And it pushed me further from who I wanted to be. And I think that story really resonates with a lot of the women I spoke to in their own way of just choosing things that were not for them and thinking, because I've made this decision, this has to be my route. Sadly, I think in society at large, we see people come to that place. And instead of the ability to break up with what broke you, we think we have to stay in that relationship. And we have to tell ourselves, no, this is good. I made this decision. This is the right path for me. I like this. And we're seeing people live in a manner that causes so much harm to themselves because they're not able to separate. And nothing is almost shameful at this point because it feels too hard to navigate that ground. It's too tough of terrain because what if we can admit that we are broken? What if we do admit that we've made mistakes? It feels like that is a guilty verdict, but I like to say that that's honestly the most freeing thing we can do because it allows us to release it. In owning our past, we release it from owning us. And I share that because, you know, whether you're a mom, whether you're a single woman, whether you're a grandmother, if you've been through an instance where you have regret or you have shame following you, it's so easy to suppress that. So where no one else can see, but you're hearing in your mind all the time, well, of course you did that because you're a screw up. Of course they left because you're unlovable. It inhibits us from actually having healthy relationships. And we were talking about this before we were recording. We want to be the hands and the feet. We want to be the salt of the earth. But if we're not starting with the relationship and living in the identity that God's created us, how can we tell people, you're made in God's image, I love you, if I don't love myself, believe that for myself?
That's good. How do you help women? So women who are listening today thinking, okay, that's me. I'm the one who's carrying this baggage of shame. I'm a mom. I don't want my kids to find out this. I don't want my spouse to find, you know, whatever it is. How do we practically, someone listening today, where is their starting point? Like if they're listening to this and like, that is me. I don't want to carry this around anymore. I don't want to be that. I don't want to have this identity of what I did is who I am because that is not my identity. What are some practical things that they can do, like ASAP, to kind of get going in the right direction?
Yeah. Well, first, I don't just say this as a shameless plug, but I'd hope you get the book, even if it's only a way to say, hey, there's someone else out there that's feeling what you're feeling. You're not alone. Brene Brown says a quote that shame needs three things to survive: secrecy, silence, and judgment. I feel like that's the groundwork that the enemy wants to use. If he can make you feel like you're the only one or you're too dirty, that no one else is feeling this or no one wants to talk about this or journey with you, then that's, he doesn't have to do anything else because you're not going to journey through that and process through that. So I'd hope you get the book because I like to help women one-on-one, but if I never get to meet you, someone that's listening, that's one way that we can connect. But I think practically, get the secrecy out. Confide in someone that you trust. A lot of the times, even just the verbal processing helps us get rid of that lie of we're inadequate or we're filthy. And we realize, okay, maybe it wasn't so terrible, or I'm not even that person anymore, but just carrying it inside, the secrecy was festering something that felt out of control. Silence, we want to disrupt just hearing the negative talk, and we want to actually have people speaking into us, positive reinforcement, speaking, hey, I love you, I'm here for you, I see you, I know that that's not true of you anymore, and like these are your heart's intentions. And then judgment, we're often our worst critic. And there's a very key difference between conviction and shame. They're not feelings, I think they're actually directions, and they lead us to action. Conviction leads us to repent, which is solely just returning to the heart of God, returning to his original innate design for us, where shame leads us to remorse. And, you know, there is a season for everything, as the Bible says, but shame is not a direction that leads us to healing. It only leads us to this judgment and this downward casting on ourselves. But if we can turn the recognition, you know, shame and conviction both say, hey, I did this and this wasn't right. But if we sit in shame, it says, yeah, because I'm not right. Something is wrong with me. Where conviction says, this is not right because it's not who you are.
That's good.
So let's change the way we're speaking to ourselves and start speaking to others who are in our corner.
That's so good. We always even just tell our kids, like, secrets will destroy, you know, like, even if I have a kid who's, you know, older, and we talk about internet safety and pornography, you know, all the things that will be coming up in his life. Mm-hmm. And just that freedom to say, you can tell us anything, but we're not keeping secrets here, because secrets is what eats you alive. And secrets, mm-hmm. you have someone who's kept a secret since they've been young, and now they're, you know, 60 years old. And that shame that they carried as a 13-year-old boy is eating them alive, you know, as a 60-year-old. I've seen it personally in different relationships. And so that is kind of a big thing for us, is that secrecy, mm-hmm. like, let it out. And I think what you said is just, even sometimes when you carry it, it seems so hard and big, and it feels so bad and heavy. But then when we actually speak it to someone else, even just speaking it sometimes can free us, whether that be with a counselor or a trusted friend, mm-hmm. Just speaking it out loud. And the thing that I've learned over the years is just that vulnerability piece, that when we speak it out loud and we have friends who have no judgment but just want to walk with us, most of the time there are other people who are feeling the exact same way or who've dealt with the same thing. Right. And you give them the freedom to also get their stuff out. Like, when you take the first mm-hmm. chance to say, okay, I'm going to be vulnerable about this, it gives someone else the freedom to be able to do that well. So I love that. Hey everyone, it's hard to believe, but fall will be here before we know it. As you start to think about back to school, I want to encourage you to think about how you can be praying for your kids this year. We are parenting in a world that feels unsteady and confusing. Our kids face issues that we never even thought we would face when we were growing up. And so I want to tell you about the Christian Parenting 2023-24 Prayer Journal. It's now available. It's Marked by Prayer is a prayer journal from Christian Parenting that was created just for you. This journal will guide you in praying for your kids every week of the school year. Each week presents a new topic to journal and pray about. Topics include generosity, self-discipline, salvation, godly friendships, and more. So join us as we pray that our kids would be marked by God. Visit cpgive.org to request your school year prayer journal, Marked by Prayer. Again, that's cpgive.org. Request your copy of Marked by Prayer today. I think sometimes when I think of just mothering, and when I first was a new mom, and during my first mom years, everyone was making their own baby food and staying at home and breastfeeding for, like, till they were 2 years old. And, like, so that was my that was kind of my shame, is because I didn't do that. I didn't know mm-hmm. my kid didn't breastfeed great. I was like, you will breastfeed for 6 months. We will get through this. And then, like, 6 months, I'm like, okay, we did it. We did the goal. But, you know, you have all these kind of things that are put on you, whether it be past or even this future perfect that you have to do. But I just remember as a new mom feeling like I'm not adequate. I'm not doing. I had an old mentor say to me before I had children, so interesting. And he said, oh my gosh, he's like, I don't know how your kids are going to do. He goes, you're like the most non-nurturing mm-hmm. person ever. And I was like,
wow. Okay. Oh.
I was like, and I am a tomboy. Like, I am like, kind of no mercy, you know, like I love sports and, you know, I'm gritty. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, my kids are going to be so sad because I'm not, like, this nurturing, mm-hmm. sweet mom that, like, always is like, oh, hey, baby girl. You know, I don't talk like that. And I carried that with me for probably, oh my gosh. I mean, still sometimes to this day, it'll click in my head. But just those little things that sometimes we're taught even as we're new moms. So talk to me about that. Talk to me about that kind of shame as a new mom, and then just comparing. I think that is a thing that just crushes mm-hmm. our soul, is when we compare ourselves to even other – I mean, I know we're talking about moms right now, but, like, even other mothers. Like, talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, you said something so key there is that shame can often be a root of one thing that someone said in the span of less than a minute that hits a nerve so deep down, it changes the way we interact.
Yeah.
So what shame does is we take something that is said, something we've done, and we begin to flip it of, okay, that was not good. What do I need to do to correct that? Oftentimes it is, I need to have this exterior persona. I need to have this ideal self. What would the woman, again, that perfect woman, right? What would she do? And we live from a place of inauthenticity. And when we're doing that, we're not acting ourselves. One, if we do believe that we're made in the image of God and he holds a facet of who he is in each person, then we're not living that out and being the hands and the feet properly. So that in and of itself is a good reason to break up with what broke you. But also we'll get to the end of the days and feel just completely spent, or we feel like we're having to work so hard to be this person and put on this mask that doesn't naturally fit us. I can assume in that moment, if you were trying to say like, oh, hey, sweetie, let's put a bow on, and it just didn't feel right to you. Like the people around us are usually way better at picking up what's not real than we think they are. Especially kids, I would say. You're just like, this isn't right. And my kid's throwing something now.
I love it.
It's like, yeah, no, it's not. So we start living out of this persona place. And I feel like I did that often in my life where even when I was engaged to Arden, mind this is after that healing journey God took me on, there were still like these little fragments of shame where I thought, okay, but like, what if people really knew how many skeletons are in my closet? Mm. What if they really knew my deepest, darkest secrets, or that I get frustrated easy, or that I'm passive aggressive? Like, we just can't have that. I'm going to go into my marriage. It's going to be amazing. So I have to be amazing every day. And it was exhausting. And Christy, I just remember sitting in a car talking to my husband or my fiance at the time. And he just looked at me and he was like, you don't have to be anyone else. I'm not judging you the way others have. Like, I'm marrying you because I see gold in you. Like, I want to be with you. And that was such a freeing moment because I had realized there were so many times I was trying to be someone else solely because I was scared of what was inside of me. Mm. But I think if we have the relationship with Christ to say, God, this is who I am. These are what I feel are shortcomings. Like, but you made me this way. How do I, one, journey that with you? How do I realize that I am human, that this is actually a great way to know that I'm dependent on you and that I need to be renewed in you daily? When it comes to comparison, my advice would just be to anyone is no one has it all figured out. Everyone sees the ways that they could be better. And if you're hitting every mark and every checklist of people pleasing or everyone approves you, you might not actually be authentic with anyone who can see the real you and call you to be higher. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to be this perfect image. You want to be your best self. Being your best self means showing all sides of who you are. It means having bad days. It means having good days too. Our Instagram reels and just seeing our neighbors smiling and, you know, everyone's hair is in a bow and their clothes are ironed, going to church. Like, you don't see the Friday nights where they're cleaning up everything or the fights they're having with the spouse that leads to genuine intimacy. Like, if we want real connections and real depth, we have to do the work of journeying to get there. I mean, iron sharpening iron looks like friction sometimes. And that can be our relationship with ourselves as well.
That's so good. I think just people hearing this, and I can even think in my head, I'm like, oh, I hope these people are listening. I hope this type of person is listening, because I think just with, as you talk about shame and the things that can just weigh us down, it mm-hmm. truly breaks my heart to think of people who are letting something of their past identify who they are. And I think even when mm-hmm. we work, you know, with those who have had the worst atrocities done to them and nothing of their own fault, abuses that were nothing that they could just done to them. It's a constant reminder to let them know you do not get to identify with your past. You get to be someone mm-hmm. else. You get to be this wonderful child of God who loves you and made you, and your past does not define you. And I think that's so hard sometimes for people to truly get, is that the past does not define them. So
diet,
I appreciate you just giving us a reminder to that. And
culture.
For those listening who might have that they hear this and they really resonate and they're like, I've been carrying this. Because it really does feel like a weight on your shoulder that you're carrying. Yeah. You know, I mean, it really, like, did you feel kind of even the release of like your body? I don't know if you read the Your Body Keeps the Score, but like that release of even your body, the feeling of your body when you were able to kind of release some of the shame.
Yeah, it's so interesting the way that your mind can tune out to what your body is telling you. I had a lot of anxiety around being around people simply because, you know, I knew internally that I wasn't actually being myself. I didn't know that in my mind because it was too painful to think about, right? But I remember being in situations and something equated to, similar to you, a word that I heard when I was younger of, why are you here? People saying like, don't speak, you shouldn't be here. Those words played into my mind. And as I would share with people, even in a conversation like this, like my throat would just get super tight. Mm-hmm. Like my chest would feel like physically trying to restrain my words. And I felt this overwhelming anxiety, one, because I thought in my mind, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be sharing. No one really cares what you have to say. But also just this tension of like, are they going to like me? Am I going to be enough? All of these things combusting to just almost my voice wanting to not give any word. It's like, let's just be quiet. Then no one knows who I am. I don't have to wonder if they like me because they don't know me. So I felt that really physically, but then also just, you know, you wake up freer. Maybe you don't necessarily can say, yeah, I feel this. And in this situation, Christian, I'm feeling that same exact thing. But if you just have this heavy burden or this longing desire to be loved, like I say that people that are experiencing shame are usually wanting to be desired in some way. You know, in college, I thought that that was, if I date the right person, then they'll see me and love me and all this pain will go away, or I'll finally feel like I'm enough. And the reality is, if it's the worst relationship or the best relationship, it's not going to fix the things we feel internally. Like our heart's desires and in loving someone else doesn't bandage the wounds that are in our heart. Like only our creator can actually do that. And so we need to be able to let him into those places. And I know shame and trauma and anxiety can be real outlandish words or trigger words, but the reality is we go through so much in this life, and the word even says that he doesn't promise that there won't be hard days, but he always promises that he will be beside us. And so taking that first step of saying, God, I'm just going to be vulnerable, open myself up to you. And as we were saying earlier, to a friend, to a trusted voice, he is right there. As soon as we make that first step, he comes aside us. He uplifts us. He comforts the brokenhearted. So I want to assure anyone that this just feels so scary and you're almost tempted to like turn the episode off because it's hitting a nerve. Just know that there is peace, there is grace, and rest assured that, you know, God sees you and he wants to do this journey with you. He's not looking to point a finger at you. He wants to be there to heal that broken heart and heal those wounds.
And he's so compassionate to do that. That is what makes him so beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Christian, for being on. We could probably talk hours about this, but I just want to thank you for writing this book. I want to thank you for being on our podcast today to kind of intro what it's about. And I encourage everyone to get Break Up With What Broke You, because I think everyone will see a little bit of their own story in that and get some practical ways that they can start to live in freedom. And live in freedom in Christ. And life is not long enough to feel that shame and that burden. To live free is the most beautiful thing. And then when we live free, we get to help others live free. And there's nothing more beautiful to see someone else live free that you've said, hey, you get to do that. So anyway, thanks so much for being on. Tell people where they can find you if they want to connect with you. Tell us the spaces that you are.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for even giving space to have these conversations and having a podcast that allows conversations like this to be had. If you want to connect with me, you can just go to christianbevere.com if you can spell it. If not, you can find the book on Amazon or wherever books are sold. And we're on Instagram and YouTube if you want to look at any of that content I mentioned, but would love to connect with you. My DMs are open. My chat's open. And Christy, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. I know there are so many of us who listened to this interview and thought, wow, this is me. This is what I've been dealing with. I have not been able to get rid of the shame that has been with me for years and years. And I just encourage you to find one person, whether it be a counselor or a trusted friend, that you can really talk about that with. Sometimes when we just talk about it and release that, we feel a freedom, and then we can walk in it and we can learn the steps to walk in that freedom. So I encourage you to do that this week for those who maybe were listening and their stomach was kind of turning and you were like, oh, that is me. I encourage you to do that and to also get Christian's book, Break Up With What Broke You. That will be out August 15th and you can pre-order now. We'll have everything in the show notes as well of how to reach her and talk to her, connect with her. She is a lovely soul and I encourage all of you to grab her book and learn more. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for giving us the space of your day. I know many of you are so busy being moms and dads and, you know, business owners and all the things that we do. And I'm so honored that you give us your time every single week. So thank you so much for being love and doing good in your home and in your community. We appreciate you and we'll see you next week.